chapter 3. A missionary was asked by a tribal leader how much the missionary paid for his wife, and the missionary explained, you know, that, you know, in our culture we don't buy and sell women. And the tribal leader laughed, and he said, as he squeezed the wife's thin arm, I wouldn't have paid a goat for her anyway. And in Hosea chapter 3, God gives us the story of the prophet who did have to buy back his wife as a picture of what God had to do for us. Gomer was bought for a price. Beloved, so are we. Remember, the Lord commanded Hosea to marry Gomer, an adulterous wife, to enable him to understand and to act out how Israel is like an adulterous wife in the Lord's eyes, and God wanted Hosea to feel that. We saw that in chapter 1, verses 2 in the first part of verse 3. And then secondly, if you remember, the Lord gives Hosea and Gomer these three children. And each of those names given to the children signified that God is going to punish Israel. God is going to distance himself from Israel and disown her. And that was the second part of verse 3 of chapter 1 down to verse 9. Then we noted how the Lord promises that in the future he will reverse the effects of his judgment and will restore his covenant love with his people. And that was chapter 1, verse 10 through to the beginning of chapter 2, verse 1. And what followed, if you remember, in chapter 2, the Lord warned Israel of his impending judgment to lead Israel to repentance. But because she refused, he must punish her. And that was in the first half of chapter 2. But then in the second half of chapter 2, from verses 14 to 23, we saw how the Lord tenderly woos his adulterous wife back to himself. Now this evening, we see the Lord command Hosea to love Gomer again and to buy her back and to live with her again. Why? For the same reason given in the first chapter, friends. To enable Hosea to understand, feel, and act out how the Lord loves Israel, so that you and I will understand and feel what it means that the Lord bought us back. He bought us back at a price, at the cost of his own beloved Son, our Savior Jesus. So verse 1 of chapter 3, then the Lord said to me, go again, love a woman who is loved by a lover and is committing adultery, just like the love of the Lord for the children of Israel, who took to other gods and loved the raisin cakes of the pagans. So I bought her for myself for 15 shekels of silver and 1.5 homers of barley. And I said to her, you shall stay with me many days. You shall not play the harlot, nor shall you have a man, so too will I be toward you. For the children of Israel shall abide many days without king or prince, without sacrifice or sacred pillar, without ephod or teraphim. Afterward, the children of Israel shall return and seek the Lord their God and David their king. They shall fear the Lord and his goodness in the latter days. Amen. Now, Friends, imagine you are Hosea at this juncture, okay? After years of adultery, your wife has abandoned you. She's living with another man. What do you do? You are free to get a divorce, isn't that right? After all, she is the one who has ended the marriage once and for all. She is the one who has walked out. She is the one who has another man in the end of the arm. Hosea is free. But beloved, do you see the picture? God would not give up on Israel. And he wants Hosea to symbolize his undying love to his wife of harlotry by loving her again and buying her back. When you think for a moment on what God asked Hosea to do here, you get a glimpse into what God's love is like with respect to our wretchedness. Friends, it is love so amazing, so divine. You know, think of it. Gomer had been faithless all along. And finally, she had gone off with another man. And according to Jewish law, Hosea could have had her stoned to death, just like we stand condemned before God's righteous law. But God commanded Hosea to love her again. Go again, he says, love a woman who is loved by a lover. Not just go and get her and love her, but even to be willing to pay this significant other. Even be willing to pay this other man for her. If that was not hard enough, it appears that it was going to cost Hosea everything he had in order to do that. You see, if he had the amount needed, you know, in cash and shekels, he probably would have, you know, paid cash. But he couldn't, so he paid half in cash and half in barley. And barley was a grain of very low value. How much did it cost in order to buy Hosea? In order for Hosea to buy his wife back in today's currency, you know, I couldn't venture a guess, friends, but I'm sure somebody somewhere has worked it out. But we glean enough, don't we? Don't we glean enough to know in order to get his wife back, Hosea had to scrape up every bit of the price together. And once Hosea purchased and reclaimed his wife and took legal possession of her, he places her in isolation, as we're told in verse 3. And you might think, well, that's a bit hard. You know, out of the frying pan and into the fire. But friends, keep the picture in mind. She would no longer play around with other men. She would no longer play the harlot, but would give herself to her true husband. And you see, the isolation symbolized both Israel, the northern kingdom, both Israel and Judah's exile when they were removed from the promised land and no longer able to worship their idols, no longer able to play the harlot with their idols. We know in exile, Judah and Babylon would be deprived of both her political independence and her idolatrous worship. Then, following her time in exile, as verse 5 indicates, Israel would come back to her senses, having been wooed by the Lord, and seek after him rather than the false gods. God would remove her rebellious spirit, and she would tremble in humility before Almighty God. no longer taking his blessings for granted. So that's basically the story of those five verses in chapter 3. But what does it mean for us? The Lord commanded Hosea to love Gomer again, to buy her back, to live with her again, so that you and I would understand and feel what it means for the Lord to buy us, what it meant for the Lord to redeem us at the cost of his beloved son, Jesus Christ, who was betrayed for the price of a slave, 30 pieces of silver. He paid our ransom. He paid our ransom to purchase us back. That's the truth that runs, you know, right through the New Testament. You know, Mark 10:45, for even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many. That's why the Son of Man came. 1 Corinthians 6:19-20. You're not your own. You are bought at a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body. The fact that we have been ransomed by the Lord Jesus Christ has strong implications for what we do with our bodies. 1 Peter 1:18-19. Knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things such as silver or gold from your aimless conduct received by tradition from your fathers, but you were redeemed with what? The precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, without blemish. That lamb, that's what you were redeemed by, Peter says. Redeemed by the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. Because we have been bought at such a price, we cannot return to our old lifestyles. Acts 20:28, been mentioned a few times on Sunday mornings when Paul comes to Miletus to meet the Ephesian elders. He says to them about the shepherds being, you know, over the church of God, which he says God has purchased with his own blood. He has purchased us, and friends, that has implications, as Paul says to those Ephesian elders, the fact that you've been redeemed by the blood of God, that has implications for the church. In Revelation 5:9, as they sang that new song, you are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you were slain, and you have redeemed us to God by your blood, out of every tribe and tongue and people and nation. You see, those whom he purchased will have his heart for global worship and missions. Revelation 14:4. These are the ones who were not defiled with women, for they are virgins. These are those who follow the Lamb wherever he goes. These were redeemed from among men, being first fruits to God and to the Lamb. And finally, as we are reminded in Romans 12, we are redeemed by God to serve as living sacrifices, holy, acceptable to God, which Paul says, after all that God has done for you, that's your reasonable service. You know, that's what you ought to be doing in the light of what God has done for you in redeeming you from your wretchedness. So how might our passions be stirred? Well, as I've mentioned on a number of times, God wants us to feel his heart and to have our passions stirred by the way in which these truths are conveyed to us. Therefore, beloved, consider Hosea, the committed and loving husband, gives us a sense of the feelings that the Lord had for Israel and that the Lord Jesus Christ has for us, the church. His heart pounds for us. Hosea, well, we know he's been hurt. He's been embarrassed. He's been shamed by his wife's rejection, her lifestyle in harlotry. He has suffered abuse and gossip at the hands of the village, talking behind his back, the sneers and the laughs. Yet he loves his wife. He loves his wife with that chesed love, that covenantal love, a sacrificial love, and he sacrificially redeems her and rescues her, his own wife, by paying to buy her back, redeeming her from the slave market. What a picture, beloved, of the Lord Jesus Christ, who comes to seek and to save the lost, who comes not to serve, but to redeem us, buy us back onto himself. And Gomer, the wife of harlotry, gives us a sense of the feelings that Israel should have had about herself and that you and I should have about ourselves when we think how the Lord is merciful to us, perseveres with us, and doesn't give up on us. You know, how often have we been unfaithful to our husband king and sold ourselves into, you know, slavery of sin and harlotry? You know, when we succumb to, you know, the temptations of the flesh. And yet he still perseveres. Doesn't wash his hands off us. You know, we know some people reject the Lord Jesus Christ because they don't feel that they are guilty. They don't feel that they are wretched. They don't feel that they need to be rescued or redeemed. You know, the self-righteous type, you know, the type that, you know, you don't need to tell me to be saved because I'm a good person, or it's not necessarily I'm a good person. Like, I live my life the way I want to live my life, and nobody's going to tell me to do otherwise. I'm happy the way I am. I don't need to be redeemed. I don't need to be saved. And we know that that's sinful pride. And we know at the other end of the scale, there are others who feel so wretched, so ashamed, that they see themselves beyond redemption. You know, God would never accept me because I am too bad. I'm so far down the scale that nobody would ever take any interest in me. Too unworthy to have anyone love me. And that's also a form of perverse way pride also. I want you to try and imagine how Gomer may have felt about herself when Hosea shows up at the slave auction to bid on his own wife. You know, in a strange way, did you think, what's he doing here? You know, I don't need to be redeemed. I'm living the life that I wanted to live. And whoever buys me, you know, I'll just, run off with somebody else when I get the chance. I'm living my life the way I want to live it. Don't need to be redeemed. Don't need his love. Is that how she's thinking? Or is she thinking, you know, too wretched. I'm too ashamed of my actions. Too unworthy for him to do anything for me. You know, how would I ever be able to go back to that village again? How would I ever be able to look my children in the eye again? Maybe she's standing there thinking, you know, no matter what Hosea says to me or does for me, I really don't want to go back with him because I am so wretched. I'm not good enough. I deserve to stay where I am in my slavery and my wretchedness. That's what I deserve. So you get those two extremes, don't you? The folks who think, nah, I don't want to be redeemed. I'm happy living the life the way I am. And the others who say, too wretched. But you see, friends, here's the point. That's why Hosea had to take the initiative with Gomer. And that's why God always, always, always has to take the initiative with ourselves. God always has to make the first move. Whether it's with the self-righteous, with the ones who are saying, don't need a redeemer, I'm happy living my life the way I'm living it. You know, I'm making a mess of it, so what? It's my life, it's my call. Or the other ones who are saying, too wretched. No one could ever love me. Either side, it's God has to take the first move. God has to take the initiative. And so it is here with Hosea, in this picture of the gospel that is given to us. He takes the initiative with Gomer. That's why he had to buy her back. That's why he had to dictate the terms of their renewed relationship, or she would have refused to have gone back with him. And so you see, friends, the whole book is a study of what it means to turn back to God and remember. God doesn't want to be only master of his people. Yes, he is my Lord, and I bow before him. But God doesn't just want to be only the master of the people. He wants to be a husband, giving himself in intimate love to those he has purchased for himself in Christ. We have that intimate relationship with our Creator God by virtue of what Christ has done for us in redeeming us by his own precious blood. Friends, this is the heart of the prophet's message and the heart of what the Bible has to say. Both in heaven and on earth, there is one superb, defined, and absolute reality. It's an eternal, unchanging, and enduring reality. It is, in other words, the covenant of grace. It is the amazing love of God, the amazing covenant love of God for all his own, for each one of us here this evening. Grace should always be amazing, shouldn't it? Grace shouldn't be something that just washes over us. Grace should always be amazing grace, how sweet the sound. Grace should always be, oh, how the grace of God amazes me. It should always impact us. We are to labor to get our hearts affected by the love and the grace of God. Beloved, this is what Hosea seeks to teach us about the love of God in this wonderful, wonderful little prophecy. Well, Amazing Grace, 378 in Grace Hymns. And then we'll go to prayer.